Read your Bibles, please, for our second reading to Jeremiah chapter 38. Jeremiah chapter 38, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Then Shephatiah, the son of Matan, and Gedaliah, the son of Pashur, and Jukal, the son of Shelemiah, and Pashur, the son of Malchiah, heard the words that Jeremiah had spoken unto the people, saying, Thus saith the Lord, He that remaineth in this city shall die by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence. But he that goeth forth to the Chaldeans shall live, for he shall have his life for a prey, and shall live. Thus saith the Lord, this city shall surely be given into the hand of the king of Babylon's army, which shall take it. Therefore the princes said unto the king, We beseech thee, let this man be put to death, for thus he weakeneth the hands of the men of war that remain in this city, and the hands of all the people in speaking such words unto them. For this man seeketh not the welfare of this people, but the hurt. Then Zedekiah the king said, Behold, he is in your hand, for the king is not he that can do anything against you. Then took they Jeremiah and cast him into the dungeon of Malchiah, the son of Hamelech, that was in the court of the prison, and they let down Jeremiah with cords. And in the dungeon there was no water but mire. So Jeremiah sunk in the mire. Now when Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, one of the eunuchs which was in the king's house, heard that they had put Jeremiah in the dungeon, the king then sitting in the gate of Benjamin, Ebed-Melech went forth out of the king's house and spake to the king, saying, My lord the king, these men have done evil in all that they have done to Jeremiah the prophet, whom they have cast into the dungeon, and he is like to die for hunger in the place where he is, for there is no more bread in the city. Then the king commanded Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian, saying, Take from hence 30 men with thee, and take up Jeremiah the prophet out of the dungeon before he die. So Ebed-Melech took the men with him, and went into the house of the king under the treasury, and took thence old cast clouts and old rotten rags, and let them down by cords into the dungeon to Jeremiah. And Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian said unto Jeremiah, Put now these old cast clouts and rotten rags under thine armholes under the cords. And Jeremiah did so. So they drew up Jeremiah with cords and took him up out of the dungeon, and Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison. Then Zedekiah the king sent and took Jeremiah the prophet unto him into the third entry that is in the house of the Lord. And the king said unto Jeremiah, I will ask thee a thing, hide nothing from me. Then Jeremiah said unto Zedekiah, If I declare it unto thee, wilt thou not surely put me to death? And if I give thee counsel, wilt thou not hearken unto me? So Zedekiah the king sware secretly unto Jeremiah, saying, As the Lord liveth, that made us this soul, I will not put thee to death, neither will I give thee into the hand of these men that seek thy life. Then said Jeremiah unto Zedekiah, Thus saith the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, If thou wilt assuredly go forth unto the king of Babylon's princes, then thy soul shall live, and this city shall not be burned with fire, but thou shalt live and thine house. But if thou wilt not go forth to the king of Babylon's princes, then shall this city be given into the hand of the Chaldeans, and they shall burn it with fire, and thou shalt not escape out of their hand. And Zedekiah the king said unto Jeremiah, I am afraid of the Jews that are fallen to the Chaldeans, lest they deliver me into their hand, and they mock me. But Jeremiah said, They shall not deliver thee. Obey, I beseech thee, the voice of the Lord which I speak unto thee, so it shall be well unto thee, and thy soul shall live. But if thou refuse to go forth, this is the word that the Lord hath showed me. And behold, all the women that are left in the king of Judah's house shall be brought forth to the king of Babylon's princes. And those women shall say, thy friends have set thee on and have prevailed against thee. Thy feet are sunk in the mire, and they are turned away back. So shall they bring out all thy wives and thy children to the Chaldeans, and thou shalt not escape out of their hand, but shall be taken by the hand of the king of Babylon, and thou shalt cause the city to be burned with fire. Then said Zedekiah unto Jeremiah, let no man know of these words, and thou shalt not die. But if the princes hear that I have talked with thee, and they come unto thee, and say unto thee, declare unto us now what thou hast said unto the king, hide it not from us, and we will not put thee to death. Also what the king said unto thee, then thou shalt say unto them, I presented my supplication before the king, that he would not cause me to return to Jonathan's house to die there. Then came all the princes unto Jeremiah and asked him, and he told them according to all these words that the king had commanded. So they left off speaking with him, for the matter was not perceived. So Jeremiah abode in the court of the prison until the day that Jerusalem was taken, and he was there when Jerusalem was taken. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. The first section, verses 1 through 13, once again we see that the word of the Lord is consistent at the mouth of Jeremiah, that he has never changed the message, never wavered off of it, that he has always said the same thing. It is time for the Lord, according to his own word, to destroy this city. Therefore, depart out of this city, be taken captive, go to Babylon, buy houses, give your sons and daughters to marriage, pray for the peace of that city, and then when the Lord calls you back to your own land, you shall return in peace. The message has never changed. And so, once again, here is Jeremiah in the court of the king's house, or is it the court of the Lord? I don't remember now. Anyway, he goes on preaching the same that he has always been preaching. Verse 3, thus saith the Lord, this city shall surely be given into the hand of the king of Babylon's army, which shall take it. When the princes therefore heard that, they accused him of what we would call today sedition. They accused him of sedition. They said, you're weakening the hands of the soldiers. You're causing them to want to revolt against the king, to desert their posts, to go out to the king of Babylon. That is sedition. You're spreading sedition. You shall surely die. They come before Zedekiah and they say, this man has, and I'm going to paraphrase, he's spoken sedition. And Zedekiah says, well, who am I before you guys? I can't do anything. So take him and do what you will. And so they do. So notice that it was Zedekiah that commanded that he should be delivered out of the dungeon before. But now, in the face of those men, he says, well, who's the king that he can do anything? Right? And so they take Jeremiah and they throw him. And this is that famous passage where he's sinking in the mire and so on. That takes us down to about verse... Oh, I'm in the wrong page here. Excuse me. It takes us down to about verse 6. Now we have a man named Ebed-Melech, an Ethiopian, one of the eunuchs, which was in the king's house. This is a straight-up rebuke to the people of God. It takes an Ethiopian to rescue the prophet. None of the people of God would stand up for Jeremiah, but the Ethiopian sure did. And so he stood up, and by the way, we will hear about another Ethiopian eunuch later on in the history of the church, will we not? Who stands up and confesses Christ by saying, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, in Acts chapter 8. So those Ethiopians, they pop up at key times in the history of redemption. Here's an Ethiopian that rises up and pleads to the king for Jeremiah, and the king is sitting in the gate of Benjamin. And so he pleads, and the king gives him leave to go and rescue him. So they go almost clandestinely out of sight of the princes or nobles, and they set down these things. And it says that Jeremiah is supposed to put them under his armholes. I'm looking at my arms. I don't have holes in my arms. Right? Armholes, armpits. So they lower something down that he's able to put his arms through and kind of cross his arms like this, and they're able to drag him up out of the dungeon. And so they pull him out. So it says in verse 13, they drew up Jeremiah with cords and took him out of the dungeon, and Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison, which was a much better place to be. Right? That's in like the exercise yard, rather than in one of the cells underground in the mire, in the mud. Okay, so we've seen all of that. Then Zedekiah the king sent and took Jeremiah again, and once again designed to commune with him privately. Now Zedekiah, we're going to learn something about Zedekiah in this passage that while we may have suspected before, now we're going to know for sure. So he communes again with Jeremiah and he says, what? What is the word of the Lord? Hide nothing from me. And Jeremiah in verse 15 then, first of all, pleads with Zedekiah. What did he say to Zedekiah? Well, if I tell you the truth, you'll kill me and you won't listen. I've told you already, in other words. I've told you the truth. It hasn't affected you thus far. Do you think because you ask me over and again that I'm going to change my mind and give you something else? I'm not like Balaam of old. I'm the brazen wall. And so Jeremiah speaks once again. Notice that Zedekiah swears with an oath. Listen to what he says. As the Lord liveth that made us this soul, in other words, that made us these living creatures, I will not put thee to death, neither will I give thee into the hand of these men that seek thy life. Too bad he didn't also add that oath and say, I will do all that the Lord has said. He didn't do that. The only thing he did was he said that he wouldn't harm Jeremiah. By the way, which oath he fulfilled. He didn't harm Jeremiah. He let him go. He didn't put him back into the dungeon, and he didn't deliver him into the hand of the nobles that wanted his death. That's why they put him in that dungeon, right? They put him there to leave him to die. Oh, he's dead? Well, okay, I guess we better cast him out into the field now, right? That was their design. So Jeremiah says the same thing, except now there is an offer of God's mercy to Zedekiah. He says to him, you as the king, you're in a special position. You can save this city from being burnt with fire if you will go out and give yourself to the king of Babylon and be taken captive. Be an example. Be a leader. Lead the people in obedience to the word of God here, Zedekiah. You have a unique opportunity as the king. And how does Zedekiah answer? It is a horrible, horrible answer. He says, well, you know, there are already Jews that have been taken captive. And I told them not to. And now if I go out to be taken captive, they'll mock me. He's more concerned about his pride than he is about the city. So we learn that about Zedekiah, don't we? That whenever he communes with Jeremiah, he does so secretly, out of sight of the nobles, instead of standing up as the king that he is and says to the nobles, pipe down! Let me do righteousness here. Be quiet. Stop assaulting the kingdom with your unrighteousness. Or maybe he would say something like this. Righteousness exalts a nation, and sin is a reproach to any people. But he didn't. He's more concerned about his reputation. More concerned about being a man pleaser. More concerned about being a self pleaser than a good monarch. Remember what David said about he who rules over men? That he must be just, ruling in the fear of God. Zedekiah at every turn refuses to rule like that. Alright, so that takes us down through verse 19, then there is something said here about the wives of Zedekiah's house, that they will be brought out and that they will testify against Zedekiah themselves unless he does what the Lord desires. Then in verse 24, we have the close of this passage, and some have said to Jeremiah or about Jeremiah that he lied here, but he didn't lie. The nobles who were seeking his life, they were not owed all of the truth. Had he told them all the truth, it would have been his undoing. So he told them instead something that was true, not a lie, but they weren't owed the whole truth. And so he held back from telling them everything. And so Zedekiah says, tell them that you've done what you've already done, and that is that you pleaded for your life, and I gave you leave. Tell them that. And that is a true statement. It's not a lie. No, it's not the whole truth. But when we have a moral certainty that people will misuse the whole truth, we're not obliged to tell them that. You know, if we think that someone's going to do someone harm that is innocent, and we're hiding them, and they say, is he here? We can say something like, well, I refuse to answer that. We haven't lied, but we certainly haven't told all the truth either. But we don't have to tell all of the truth. And so these men had already showed themselves unworthy to receive the truth. There was a moral certainty that they would indeed harm Jeremiah. And so Jeremiah was delivered, and that by the word of Zedekiah, as he said, that he would protect Jeremiah's life. And that's how the chapter ends. We learn from Zedekiah then that over and over again he heard the word of God and did not listen. He would not do what the Lord had commanded. Now, this is not a sermon, so we'll not go too far down this road. Okay, but this is a good reminder for us all. How many sermons have we heard revealing to us the will of the Lord, and we have not yet kept it? We have not yet done what the Lord would have us to do. And we come back sermon by sermon by sermon, and we hear that thing again, and we say, oh yeah, I really ought to do that. And yet we don't. Again, let us not be like Zedekiah. Let us be like Jeremiah instead, the brazen wall, the guy that hears the word of the Lord and does it, rather than Zedekiah, one who often hears the word of the Lord and doesn't. Right? James speaks to us about that, that we want to be hearers and doers of the word. All right, so thus ends the reading then of Jeremiah chapter 38.